I just said that.
I know you just said that.
Okay, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
That's what I just said.
That's what I'm saying to you.
All right.
Touché.
You go right, you go right, you go left, you go right, you go right, you go right, you go left, you go right.
It's a special touche, usually reserved for Monday nights here on The Download, but since the holiday preempted us, and it worked out in our favor because a huge bombshell today is the FBI says they don't recommend prosecution of Hillary Clinton over emails. Dave Lundy, Charles Lipson's in for Chris Roebling today, University of Chicago political science professor and a regular here on WGN. Dave, Charles, good to see you.
Good to see you, Justin.
You feeling good,
today,
Dave?
Today was a bombshell. I sat there this morning. You know, I get to my office, I turn the TV on, I have it on mute usually, and all of a sudden I look up and I see Comey press conference, and I'm like, okay. And I watched the whole thing live.
A lot of cliffhangers.
And I'm not sure I exhaled for 15 minutes.
He kept going, and even if this is the case, then here's what I want to say. Well, I'm not going to say it yet. Right. Like, that's what the whole flow of that. I was like, oh, you're killing me. Yeah.
Right, exactly.
So you're obviously happy with the results of today's press conference.
Well, look, nobody's happy when the director of the FBI calls your presidential candidate extremely careless, okay? So please,
she
nobody.
She said it was carless. It was a misspelling. And I believe that's her defense now.
That's good. Touché. Nobody could be happy. It wasn't right. Exactly what I would call a glowing vindication. But what it was, number one, no prosecution. And not just no prosecution of Hillary. It was the no prosecution, no recommendation for prosecution of anybody up and down the chain.
So no one can be thrown under the bus. It won't be a lawyer. It won't be a Democrat.
Going to be an ongoing matter for the next year or two or three or four. So that was one thing he said. He also said she had there was no demonstrated intent to delete things to avoid detection. People were deleting things in the normal course of action. I mean, he said some things that were difficult, but he also said some things that very much exonerated her on the subject of intent.
All right, Charles, you heard that. Dave is obviously concerned but elated, as you can hear it in his voice.
Giddy?
He sounds giddy and energetic. On your side, is this put the email stuff to bed?
Dave, you ignorant slut.
realize we're not on Patty's show. It's only 7:40 here, dude.
I'm sorry. Actually, I think that I'm not a Trump supporter. I'm not a Hillary supporter either. I'm actually right now backing the giant meteor of death as the best option.
13% in climbing.
That's right. That's right. And doing very well with independents. But and in Ohio, that's where it hopes to break through. But I think Comey, and surely Comey is an honorable man. I think that Comey,
he's the FBI,
the biggest, James Comey, I don't have anything bad to say about him. He's behaved with integrity throughout his career. I found the press conference to be a tale of two press conferences. One was a statement of facts. And those facts seem to be quite damning, and in two ways. One, they said that virtually everything that Hillary has said publicly about the emails was false, and obviously she knew it was false. And that includes things like her first thing was she never sent in classified emails. Well, there were hundreds. She never sent any that had classified markings. Well, there were some. I think that the issue of intent, which is not in the law, actually could be read a somewhat different way. Her intent began when they set up a server that she knew would carry all of her stuff. But if he thinks that it's not something that he was an experienced prosecutor, if he thinks you couldn't get a conviction,
right.
I think the real problem, one more thing, I think the real problem here was that they let it run on to this date. At this point, there were nothing but bad options.
Right.
If he had said, we're going to put her on trial, people would rightly have said, wait a minute, this close to an election, why not let the people decide what to do? So I think he backs himself into a corner once they let it run this long.
Dave, are we going to hear second guessing and continuing disapproval of Hillary Clinton's behavior, what she said, what she did, what she, you know, how she defended the email stuff throughout the last year? Are we going to hear, is that going to be the rallying cry for Republicans as we move forward in this presidential election?
It will be at their own peril. Obviously, Donald Trump spent a fair bit of time on that today in a speech that he just gave. Breitbart sent out a tweet with the picture, you know, Bill Clinton meets with Loretta Lynch and then they didn't prosecute, you know, no surprise. You know, Donald Trump claims this is about a rigged system. And here's the thing. James Comey, whether you love him or hate him, aside from the fact he's a Republican and served multiple positions in multiple Republican administrations, is like the most ethical guy in Washington. So one of the reasons that I was, you know, bracing myself is I'm like, you know, is he going to have an interpretation that somehow is, you know, even though legally he might or may not be right, whatever. Anyway, but he didn't. And today he came out and he said, no, there's no reasonable prosecutor would do this. And the thing that he said that I think is important to mention real quick is, and I also saw an interview shortly thereafter with the guy who prosecuted Petraeus. He was interviewed by Chuck Todd on MTP Daily. And he not only agreed with Comey, he said, look, there has never been a prosecution under the gross negligence standard. Normally you get prosecuted, even though the law technically does not require intent, you normally get prosecuted if you have a combination of intent and an aggravating factor.
But
and in Petraeus'
case,
what
about the intent of sort of setting up the whole system so
well,
that it was outside?
That's not an intent to disseminate classified information. In Petraeus' case, not only was he caught on tape, on his mistress's tapes, saying, I'm going to send you a raft of classified, and this stuff is really highly classified, he then lied to the FBI about it. That's a problem.
Let me ask you, Charles, getting out of the nuts and bolts of what we think about intent or what do we think about how the law is being, I guess, applied here. Hillary Clinton has a bad rep for being dishonest. Voters have always, Republicans like to call her a liar. Does this help or hurt her in the sense that she did go on record on this thing, as you mentioned, and some of the things were already sort of disproven or she's been caught in a lie? Does this help Republicans who are pushing against Hillary Clinton, or does this, as it says, she's not going to be prosecuted, help Democrats?
Well, it helps Democrats in that they would have been in a very difficult position if he had said we are referring this to the FBI to the Justice Department, and they would still have to make a decision, and then the Democrats would be in a hard fix. On the other hand, the Republicans, Comey said was that the factual basis for what Hillary has been saying for the past year and a half, or however long it's been since this was first discovered, all of that is false.
Nah, he didn't say that, Charles. Huh? He didn't say that.
No, he didn't say that she said false things. He went through a series of statements that one by one ticked off as incorrect and false statements that she had made. She said she never sent classified material. Yes, she did. She said she never sent any material that was marked classified. Yes, she did. Those were her claims.
But are you being, and critics of this being a little too specific? I mean, we're talking about classified documents. You're talking about three? I mean, it's not like a tremendous amount.
There were over 100. And then there were several that were very highly classified that contained people's names and so forth. I don't think that that's what's going to resonate. Trump will try two things. Trump will say she endangered national security, and Trump will say it's a rigged system. And he'll just see which of those two stick to the wall.
Yeah, I mean, look, the reality, again, as Charles said earlier, there were only bad options here at this point for Hillary Clinton coming out of this. But what we can count on, because it happens every single time, is that Donald Trump will either overplay his hand, or he will do something so incomparably stupid like tweet out a Jewish star with the words "most corrupt candidate" on piles of $100 bills next to a picture of Hillary Clinton that originated with right wing or with white supremacist sections of the internet.
And then defend it.
And then defend it.
Instead of saying, like ordinary people would, this was a mistake. It happened somewhere down the line. We're going to fire the person who is scanning right-wing websites to find this stuff.
Instead, so all of his time over the weekend should have been spent talking about the FBI interview that Hillary Clinton did.
That's
instead, he had to defend this tweet and then or apologize for it, which, by the way, is the right answer, Donald, in case you're listening.
Right. That's exactly right, David.
Had he just said, "Oh, my God, I'm so sorry. I have a Jewish, son-in-law, and my daughter is now Jewish, and I have a Jewish grandchild, and I would never do anything to defame Jews, and this was outrageous,
nobody,
and I will make sure it
never
happens
again."
Nobody
thinks he is anti-Semitic. It's just that he digs in on issues like this, and this was a mistake. Somebody up and down the line made it.
He's fomenting. He fomented the white supremacists. He's fomenting the anti-Semites. You know, as Michael Steele said earlier tonight on an interview, he said, well, he's trying to do everything he can to identify every vote he can get. Okay, yeah.
And then
that
alienate them.
And
Charles,
it has a consequence.
Let me ask this on Charles, because the one thing that I'm interested in is the rap that Hillary Clinton gets for being dishonest. You hear Democrats defend her and say, come on, you know, this is just a witch hunt, or this is you're going after. To any politician who's been in the game as long as the Clintons have will have ups and downs, or you know, they'll flip-flop, or there'll be things that you can point out. What is the knock from conservative Republicans against the Clintons, specifically Hillary Clinton, that she's a liar or dishonest?
Well, there are two knocks against her. One is that they make a number of claims about her judgment. But the basic knock on the dishonesty, besides the fact that, as David Geffen, a major Hollywood figure, once said, it's not that they lie, it's that they do it so easily, he said, talking about Bill and Hillary. It's that they've become incredibly wealthy for one reason only. They have access inside the government. People don't pay Chelsea Clinton to give $75,000 lectures on diarrhea because she is the world's expert on diarrhea.
Hey, you don't know that. You are assuming something that we cannot prove, my friend.
So you think that is becoming the that's what you mean when people say
you're
dishonest.
If people are going to to the average person, paying somebody $75,000 or $200,000 for a speech is, oh my God, that's insane. They must have done something wrong. But if you know anything about the speaking circuit, and if you've booked anybody for a high-profile dinner, which I have, that is called routine. There are books and books. You could book Condi Rice for $200,000, ex-presidents. Ronald Reagan famously went to Japan and got paid $2 million to give two speeches. I mean,
Why do they pay Kissinger if they're the Chinese? They pay because they can open doors.
They pay because it's a draw.
There are two reasons. That's correct.
You want to draw.
You have Mike Tyson or somebody. You have somebody who's a big name because they can hold the convention over for an extra day. And that's absolutely right. And you pay certain kinds of people because they're particularly attractive to major donors. Why do you pay Bill Clinton $16 million to be the, quote, chancellor of a for-profit university that does business in Latin America, a job that he got while his wife was the Secretary of State? Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of money that sloshes through the system, and most people think that the Clinton Foundation, which was not exonerated.
Most people, that is not, you cannot say most people think. Your friends may think this.
That's
but
right.
But that is so not true.
The organizations that rate charities can't even rate the Clinton Foundation.
Oh, you are getting into an area. You are getting yourself in trouble, my friend.
Let's take a break right here. Charles Lipson and Dave Lundy, they're my guests tonight on Touche, a special Tuesday edition of Touche. We come back. Let's talk Abner Mikva. Sound good? All right, stay with us.
I just said that.
I know you just said that.
Okay, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
That's what I just said.
That's what I'm saying to you.
All right.
Touche.
It's Touche on a special edition of Touche, Tuesday Touche, with Dave Lundy and Charles Lipson in for Chris Roebling. All right, guys, we've been arguing and going back and forth about the email situation today, but what does it do? We've also, the other big story was Donald Trump is vetting VP candidates, a lot of them Washington insiders. What does it say about Donald Trump's choices so far as we see Newt Gingrich? We see he had a weekend meeting with Pence, Governor Pence, right. Here in
and today Indiana. He had Bob Corker, again, Senator, yep. Bob Corker on the trail, and Senator Corker was doing his best sycophant he could find. I heard that just before dinner tonight. He was saying, "Oh, you can tell somebody by the people who love them." And I had an opportunity to spend so much time with Donald Trump's family today, and they're the most wonderful, amazing people. I'm like sitting there going, like, Bob, you've got a reputation for honesty and integrity. What are you doing, man?
It's important to know when to sell those. Corker would actually be a good choice for him.
He would.
And the reason is that if you ask people what they're scared of about Trump, one area that they're scared of is international politics. Right. And Corker is a kind of stable hand there and a very competent guy. I think that a lot of the choices, the sort of standard Republican Midwest guy like Pence would be a disaster. I think if you pick a Washington insider, that might help you govern, but I think it sends exactly the wrong signal.
To the people
want to do is set this up as an insider versus outsider election.
Palin, 2016.
So what is that? Who fits that bill? Is
Trump
that
Palin.
Palin?
Oh, okay.
I think if he doesn't pick Corker, I'm not quite sure. He's got an unusual problem because most years, most people are eager to run as VP.
Oh, of course.
In this case, people are running away.
I personally really, really, really pray that the conventional wisdom now is true and that it's Newt Gingrich, because between them, they'll have 6 traditional marriages, at least 5 illegal scams or barely legal scams. I mean, a Trump Gingrich, talk about doubling down on your assets, strength, something.
Something.
I love that idea. And he's got foreign policy
quickly
experience.
Quickly on Hillary Clinton, what does she do? Does today's news, does it scare her to the middle, like as Elizabeth Warren out? Does she try to stay tight and conservative with her choice?
I think she doubles down on safe. I think that her best chance to win and win decisively is to scare the bejesus out of people about the idea of Donald Trump with his finger on the button.
She's going to pick that blow up doll that was in Airplane in the co-pilot seat. That's her best choice, really.
Thanks for the visual, Charles.
Dave is exactly right. She'll double down on safe and competent.
Can I get that on tape, please?
Yeah.
That could be her little bump.
Dave is exactly right.
Right.
Dave is exactly right. This has a limited expiration date. That expiration
one more
date
minute,
is going sour right now.
All right, so as we only have 1 minute to go, I wanted to take time to talk about Abner Mikvah. You knew
Abner
Mikvah
was a true mensch. He was one of the great people in Illinois. In fact, when they went through the state trying to find the one honest guy to put on a commission, they always, for some reason, they passed over us. Dave.
I know, I don't know what that's about.
But they picked Abner Mikvah. My
Every
favorite
time.
Story about Ab, who was a federal judge, highest level, the only person to serve in the Bill Clinton White House who got out in time, that sort of thing. He was the smartest guy in his class at the University of Chicago Law School. He was the head of the law review, and Harvard tried to tell them, sent a thing in the early 50s saying, "We know your school doesn't have a law review. We'll give you a cheap option to buy ours." Of course, our law review was very prominent, and he was the head of it. He sent back a note to them saying that he thought we should merge the two law reviews and use the two names, that we should use the first part of our name and the last part of their name. So theirs is the Harvard Law Review, and ours is the University of Chicago. And he thought, using the first part, it would be the University of Chicago, and the last part of their name, it would be Law Review. So that he was a wonderful man, and he will be sorely missed by all who knew him.
Well, we'll continue talking about Abner Mikva this week. I'm going to try to put some segments together to talk about him and his legacy. Right now, Dave Lundy, Charles Lipson, thanks so much for being our guest tonight. A special edition of Touche, a Tuesday Touche.
Tuesday Touche.
Thanks, guys.